Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Doug, welcome to the 9 o'clock hour. Bernie Federico is going to be with us at 9:30 here on the radio program. And the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Who is going to win the first email of the day sponsored by Hot Shots here in 2017? A lot of people have been talking about Misty Plops. Will the Dan Marshall Leadership Institute come out of retirement?
I don't think anyone's really talked about who's going to win the email.
Well, you don't know that.
What about the Eastside Jackalope? Would he make a return? What about P-Hump? Damon? Mm-hmm. Uncle Carl's double-sided fleshlight.
West County turkey baster.
Bobby with the perm.
Mm-hmm. All the greats. Cucky the dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a clean slate, fellas. That's what it is.
Who is going to do this?
Rat and Bloomsdale.
Who is going to do this? Hey, look, it's Ryan Kelly. He's our title sponsor. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Well, good morning, boys. Happy New Year to all three of you. All four, five, so there's a lot more than three of you there. I'm sorry about that. But Happy New Year to the entire crew and cast of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Right back at you, fine, sir.
You guys make your resolutions yet? Get them on the air? Put them on record?
Yeah, Doug said he's not going to bottom this year.
No, I didn't.
Already broke it.
If that happens, doubt it. But
we're going to be a better show collectively.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is.
I'd like to get off this show. That's my resolution.
every year at the office, we do. Doug's looking for a new job.
Yes. Wouldn't you?
Put it down on his resolutions. New job from 7 to 10 A. Mm.
You're laughing. Every year about
we
do that.
We hide them in somebody's drawer and then we whip them out this morning. We got to go around the horn and kind of see who did what and who did, you know, who stayed honest and who stayed true. And then we picked our new ones. And, you know, New Year's is always kind of it's an emotional time for me. I know that sounds crazy, but I always reflect back on the prior year and see what we accomplished and what we did. You know, we're really busy. We work extremely hard here at the Home Loan Expert Office. I think most people know that. We come in, we put our foot in the gas pedal, and we don't let up 10, 12, 14-hour days every day, every week, every month, all year. But we don't really slow down enough to celebrate those accomplishments. So it's nice to sit back and look at the year we've had. And just want to kind of thank all of the listeners. You know, thank all the listeners here on the show for, A, putting up with me and my horrible call-ins like this one. Sorry. Mm. I'll let you guys get back to Radio Gold here in a minute. But also, all the listeners who gave us a shot with their mortgage. You know, we try to take great care of you. We give you a great service, refinancing, buying homes. We get them out, you know, get them in, get them out, and without all the headaches and hassles. I'm Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. Thanks to all of our past clients for making 2016 another record year. And I look forward to helping everybody else. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance, give me a call. Put me to work. Put the test on. 314-781-9700 or always online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Boys, I appreciate it. Half the office is still a little hungover from yesterday's hockey game, whether they were there or at home getting drunk. I don't know, but a lot of coffee getting poured down people's throats here, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
There he is, Ryan Kelly,
right here,
our title sponsor, his first call-in of 2017. Very grateful for our sponsors. Have some new sponsors as well. Doug, Safe Trek. This is an intriguing company.
Yeah, it's a way to keep your kids and your family a little safer. Keep your kids safe with Safe Trek. It's an app, and it's being called the Uber for police. If your kids ever feel unsafe on campus, downtown, partying, whatever, they just open the app on their phone and hold their thumb on the button. Once they're safe, they can release the button and enter their PIN number. If they're in danger and no PIN number is entered, police are immediately called and sent to their exact location. It is that simple. SafeTrack is the 911 of the digital age, and $2.99 a month is a small price to pay for your kid's safety or your girlfriend, your wife, your parents, whoever. Visit safetrack.com/KFS. FNS to send the app to your loved ones today. That's SafeTrack app, SafeTrack.com/KFNS. Great new app on the market to help keep you safe.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. I had that explained to me when they wanted to advertise on the show, and I'm like, it's a pretty impressive operation. So once again, you can get it. Doug, how can you go along and get it again?
Well, safetrackapp.com. You go to your app store, and that's what you punch in.
There
or you visit safetrackapp.com/KFNS.
Nice we idea. Have been locked in on the Winter Classic and also this MLS story, but haven't even touched on college football. I was so high on Michigan on Friday. Doug, that didn't work out.
No.
I was so high on Ohio State against Clemson.
Just missed it.
Didn't quite work out. I was so high on the Bills against the New York Jets on Sunday. Didn't work out. They actually let a ball get kicked in the end zone and then just let the Jets pick it up for a touchdown. That was a nice gesture on their part.
That's when you've given up.
I was so high on the Falcons -7.5 against the Saints, and I think they were up by 30 at one time, and they wound up by winning by 6. I was so high on the over of the Blues and Blackhawks. I did miss by a half goal.
Did you?
The one thing that I did hit on was the over on Penn State and USC. That almost covered in the first half, 61 points. It came up
crazy.
But that game, fun to watch. If you enjoy defense, you didn't enjoy it, but thrilling down to the minute. That was a game going in I was looking forward to watching, perhaps most of all of the games before the national championship game. And damn, was that some entertaining football. USC
unanswered.
Winning it.
Yeah. 17 unanswered. Crazy.
I started to watch that Ohio State game. No good. The Alabama game, not so entertaining. No good. The whole bowl season, it just bores me to tears.
I guess you didn't see Florida and Iowa play then.
I didn't care to see Florida and Iowa play. I don't care. I think Alabama's going to beat Clemson, but Clemson sure looked good.
I'm awfully fascinated by what will take place in 6 days, because my reasoning for being so high on Ohio State wasn't Ohio State, for the record. It was my belief that Clemson is just not that great of a football team. Now, that, of course, looks just horrible now. But, you know, I was listening to Mike Golic this morning on ESPN, and he was saying throughout the course of the season, he just really thought that Ohio State was an overrated team. Now, Ohio State went into Norman, Oklahoma early in the year and beat the Sooners. At the same time, on the other side of things, in week one, Alabama and USC played on neutral site, and Alabama won 52-6. However, the guy everybody in college football is talking about this morning, Sam Darnold, was not quarterbacking USC at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, USC is undefeated in all of his starts. That guy's a freshman, 19 years old.
Yeah.
That is unreal. That is unreal what he has done for that team. And keep in mind, USC went into Seattle and beat Washington, by a couple of touchdowns. I think it was either 24-13 or 24-10.
And his grandfather used to be the Marlboro man.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, fun facts for no one tell. So my point in bringing that all up is teams certainly can evolve or regress over the course of a season. I'm just not sold on Clemson, even though they beat the hell out of Ohio State. So I would still take Alabama, but a lot of the money when it first came out, I think the number was at 7.5, Alabama -7.5, and it dropped down to 6, just like in the playoffs. The Packers and the Giants, that number started off with Green Bay -7.5, and immediately it was bet down within 2 minutes to 6, and now I think it's Green Bay -4.5 in the NFL playoff matchups this weekend, that game in Green Bay. And I like the Packers, and I still like the Packers -4.5. I don't know what, I mean, you know, you saw how well I did this weekend with my pick, so perhaps take the opposite. But
Packers have been a different team second half of the season.
Yeah,
Good for you, Plowsy.
I don't know on the Giants. Maybe I'm missing something there, but I don't know. Eli Manning away from that building, it's a different operation. But who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong on that one, too. I can't wait to watch the Raiders and Texans play with two guys I've never seen under center.
Yeah.
Watching Clemson, and I was thinking, it seems to me Alabama covers an awful lot. And I thought, if you're going to bet Alabama, the perfect time is right after that Clemson game, because a lot of people would...
Look at you. Yeah.
I thought right there, Clemson... I don't think they're as good as they looked. I think Ohio State was awful. And if I'm going to play Alabama, I'm more confident doing it now. I think they're going to roll.
Do you really?
I do.
How about that?
And yeah. I don't know what teams are against the spread, but it just seems to me, not that I'm looking at the picks every time, you pick Alabama and you give the points, it covered an awful lot.
I would imagine then I know you can look this up, maybe Plowhawk or Seamouse, you can look it up real quick, what they were against the spread this year. I would be shocked if they weren't above 500. The key is, are you above 55%? That determines profitability in gambling. But I watched Clemson play. And again, a lot of these were earlier in the season, so maybe they're getting things right now. But you saw how the Big Ten East performed, and it was as bad as it can be, 0-5. And I was high on the Big Ten. And now, just because a team loses by 3 points against USC. Again, you know, if you remember the morning after the announcement of the Final Four and the committee's four teams going into the playoff, a number of people, including myself, were saying, if you were just taking the teams who are playing the best football right now, not by who deserves to be in, because USC didn't deserve to be in with three losses, but USC would be one of those teams. And Penn State would be one of those teams also, in addition to Alabama. And so you had two of the teams playing the best football, at least at the end of the season, playing each other in the Rose Bowl, and it certainly lived up to it. But a lot of people are going, man, you know, and some people were saying this in advance of it. You have the team that won the quote-unquote best football conference in college football this year, and they're on the outside looking in, and Ohio State got in. Of course, this is now results-oriented thinking, and you saw what they did. I mean, USC beat Washington. Washington was in. Penn State beat Ohio State. Ohio State was in, but then that gets into, it's not as simple as just that one game. There's a lot more to it, but I would have certainly enjoyed seeing a chance to see Sam Darnold against Alabama. I just don't know in Clemson. I don't know in Clemson. I agree with you, the cat, but for the players from Clemson and for Dabo Swinney and his staff, ever since having that lead against Alabama in the championship game last year, it has been their mission to get back and not only play for the championship, but ideally do it against Alabama and exact some vengeance.
I'll still take Alabama.
No, I agree with you. I agree with your thought process, but I was a disaster this weekend. I was flying high. That bankroll was flying high after the Alabama game. I had a lot of money on Roll Damn Tide, and then when Washington took a 7-0 lead, the number dropped to -6.5, and I said, fine by me. It's time to put a little more action on double up on it. Mm-hmm. But then I was heavy on Ohio State, and just all hell broke loose. Plowhawk, do you want to say something?
Oh, just 10-3 for Alabama against the spread. 6-6 on the over-unders for Alabama.
I wouldn't count Clemson out of it, though. I mean, there's not many teams that slap around Ohio State like they just did.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more on that point. That stunned me. Michigan, I went into it with a little question because I wondered what the thing, you know, I've talked with TJ Moe about this. When it comes to bowls, it's so difficult to handicap unless you want to try and get into the games where there is something at stake. Of course, I was way off on that one as well, but Michigan was a handful of points away from playing for the national championship, whether it be the Iowa loss on the final seconds and the field goal going through, or, you know, the questionable spot of the ball in Columbus. In the rivalry game, are they really going to be fired up to play a game that, you know, when it gets down to it, yes, it's the Orange Bowl, but sometimes it's just when you're versus being in the Final Four and you're playing in the Orange Bowl, what the motivation is. Now, they were certainly there at the end, but Florida State was able to win it. Michigan wasn't going to cover that thing by 7. But Ohio State, got it. I loved Ohio State, and I was wrong.
And then also you throw in the dynamic of star players saying, I don't think I want to play in the bowl game. Like Jabril
Peppers, right before the game.
Yeah, he's sick. Oh, yeah, right, he's sick. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you train for a year-round with teammates, and you play hard, and you get to a bowl game, and then at the last minute, I don't think I'll play. And there was a couple others that did it. McCaffrey did it, I think, for Stanford.
Yep.
I don't know how you do it. I understand why you do it. I don't want to get hurt and possibly affect my stock in the draft. I don't know how you look your friends and teammates in the eyes and say, you know what, you go ahead and play. I might get hurt. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand it. Like you said, you know, it is a business.
Well, flip the script. Look what happened to Michigan's tight end, going to be a first-round pick, tore his ACL, and, you know, maybe a day two selection. So he just lost millions. So actually, Jabril Peppers probably did himself a favor.
Well, a lot of them could. He's not the only one that's going to go to the NFL. There's probably guys that are third round picks that, you know, if they get hurt, they might not get picked at all. They were out there.
Yeah, like you said, it's understandable. I just don't think I could do it.
Guys, John Goodman and Kofi Annan show up to your work cubicle with a pirated copy of season one of The Moonshiners. They haven't shaved. Do you watch it with them? Thanks.
Sure you do. You put it in, you want
it. What if you're pressed for time?
Do you make Surrey and McKellen's thirst?
No, you don't do it if you're pressed for time.
He's glad you're back because you have a better handle on the text line.
Mike Milbury had this to say about the city of St. Louis and the response of the community to the Winter Classic. This is what he said on NBC yesterday following the win.
I thought this was probably the best Winter Classic. It had the best food. It had the best music. Great national anthem in my mind. It was tremendous. The competition on the ice was excellent. The crowd didn't want to go home. The whole thing was spectacular, including the weather, which cooperated quite nicely.
Doug, and that might have been the work of the Pink Sisters.
Could have been. Who've prayed and made other things happen.
Was the national anthem that good? I don't even recall.
It was a trumpet player.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I always enjoyed Charles Glenn. Whatever he does, he was between one period. Yeah. It was good. The whole thing was fantastic. The only thing that could have been better if it had been a little drier yesterday. But even that, it stopped raining after the first
There was period. An article making its way around the Twitter tweets, the TMA fan page, about St. Louis is not just a baseball town, detailing how great the Winter Classic performance was by the community and everybody involved. Not that we here don't know that, but the title of the article, Turnout in Lousy Conditions Shows St. Louis Fans Are Deserving of a Stanley Cup Parade. And then it goes into great detail. And Wayne Gretzky saying the city should be really proud of what they did over the last few days. They took hockey to another level. The enthusiasm and excitement was really special. They raised money for people who are less fortunate. The game got branded in a nicer and better light, and the home team won. And Jim Edmonds was quoted in this thing. Man, fans would go nuts. It's a great town. It really is. They talk about it so much, about just how much of a sports town this is, and the Blues are long overdue. They've had some really good teams, but just haven't gotten all the way through the playoffs. The Cardinals get so much attention for being good for so long, and the Blues deserve to get it. They get so much publicity from being in the city, and we've had a lot of great players over the years. It would just be really nice to see them win for the diehard hockey fans to really get to celebrate.
They probably made some new fans, too. I'm sure there was several thousand who went down there thinking, you know, I'm not that much of a hockey fan, but this will be fun. I'll see what this is about. And probably picked up those fans. You couldn't be a part of that atmosphere and not come away a Blues fan. And I love the uniforms, by the way. That light blue, that's what they should be wearing. That's what they wore in the early days. That's what makes them look different.
What about Bumblebees?
All these dark blue jerseys. How many teams wear dark? How many teams look similar? The Blues wear those jerseys they had on yesterday. That's what they should look like.
They were.
That's what they should always look like.
You and the uniforms, boy.
Yeah, I thought they looked great. They had that lighter blue early on in the.
They are going to wear. They are going to wear them again, right?
I hope.
How many times? Six.
No, you look like you were flashing gang signs right there, Plowsy.
I was just pointing to Cat six times. They'll be wearing.
Good.
He liked to give me a visual.
Good. All right.
Yeah, I don't think anything could have been better, and the fact that the weather was so threatening and people were out in force, and it didn't affect in the early going when there was some rain, didn't affect the atmosphere. It's pretty remarkable.
They even had people sitting up there in Ballpark Village across the street. I wonder how much they could see. But they were up there.
Just soaking it in, Doug.
Yep. Well, I know. It's a fun time.
Aw, come on, Doug. Charles Glenn's not good. His act is old. That's from Lafferty Daniel.
It is not.
Who says that?
Lafferty Daniel?
Suspend him, Doug.
I will. I'm glad
you're all he was doing was expressing an opinion.
Lafferty Daniel, your opinion just landed you on the suspension list. It'll be there for a period of 2 days' time. Thank you, Llewellyn's, for providing the leather-bound suspension logio. Thank you, Wright Business Products, for providing the pens that were stolen. Lafferty Daniels.
I think it's Daniel, like Chase Daniel.
Okay.
Singular.
I don't care what it is, because I don't care for his opinion. Charles Glenn has gotten old.
Doug, I know you're a big Don Lemon guy.
No, I'm not. What a clown he is. I saw him drunk.
Hold on, say, what happened?
He was drunk on New Year's Eve.
Now, that's I'll have to get Thompson Coburn on the line. He was.
If there's any doubt about it. I see him drinking.
I will say it's lengthy, a minute 20, but like there was 8 to 10 videos of him in different scenes. And so I had to splice those. They're all funny in their own way, so that's why it's a little bit lengthy.
He's a CNN anchor. CNN does this thing where they do a tribute to local morning news, and the anchors just do some George Carlin-esque material. The wonderfully delightful Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper, who I think got wrapped up in aluminum foil at some point.
That doesn't surprise me.
Nobody is better than Doug's guy, Don Lemon, who I guess just kind of had some moments of self-awareness live on the air in New Orleans.
What a talent.
How do I do it? I always live my life to the very fullest.
And yes, you do.
The thing is, I need a little bit more balance in work life. I may be open to a relationship this year. I wasn't before.
Breaking news, Don Lemon is open to a relationship?
Yeah. Actually, being available to be in a relationship. I'm a bad person to date. I'm not selfish. I'll give you my last.
Are we going there right now? I'm very self-centered.
Yeah. I'm not going to be as self-centered.
You're going to be less self-centered in 2017.
Yeah, but I don't really do resolutions, and I live my life to the fullest. I don't care what people think about me. I do what I want because it's my life.
Let me show you my shock face on who's already drinking, dude. Do you know what time it is in New Orleans? It's not even 8 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Hold that. Hold that. Oh, no. We got to do it now. You got to do it now. Cheers.
You want some?
You do it.
You want some Cuervo?
Line them up. Here we go. Tequila for everybody. We'll do one for Anderson and Kathy back. Don't get blood in the jacket. It has to go back. It goes back to Brooks Brothers.
Here we go. Here's the needle.
Very similar to some of the anchor work Walter Cronkite turned in back in the 60s. I knew Don Lemon was totally full of BS when they had the riots in Ferguson, and he was on CNN, and he was telling somebody, he said, I know St. Louis. I worked in St. Louis. And I can tell you that people used to say it was all about the three Fs, that on the way to the airport, you cannot stop in Ferguson, Florissant, or Fenton. The three Fs, that's what they say in St. Louis. I said, what in the world are you talking about?
On the way to the airport in Fenton?
Yes. Yes. That's what he was telling the national audience. Don. Well, you think he'll get in trouble for that little act?
Ryan Seacrest
probably
was
not.
Great.
What about Mariah on Fire?
Yeah, that didn't work out for her.
Take a listen to Mariah Carey, Doug.
She said it was sabotage.
Don't get any better.
Yeah.
She said the, you call it IFB, Doug, but the layman would say earpiece. She couldn't hear.
Well, they were supposed to play her music, and she was supposed to lip sync to the song, but they never played her part.
What you can't see there is that there was a video as she was walking around the stage, and the high note is continuing to be played, but she had stopped with the microphone and even acting like she was singing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she claims that there was sabotage on the part of Dick Clark Productions, and they are vociferously defending themselves and saying they might even sue her for slander.
And pointing out that every other artist that they've ever dealt with was there for the rehearsal. She had a stand-in and didn't take part in the rehearsal.
Hmm. What has to be rather unnerving when you're there on live TV with a large audience right there and they don't really play the track that you're supposed to.
I thought they did play, but she couldn't hear it, so she wasn't clear on when to join in with the lip.
She didn't sing at all.
I did hear one part we didn't air where she was like, lower me down, boys. she always wears such tight clothing, and she had to make a giant step down, and she told the dancers to lower
me
down,
boys. Yep.
And Doug, last night, The Bachelor debuted. Did you watch?
I watched a bit of it, yeah. I was reminded on Twitter that it was on, so I missed the first hour. I missed where they're all coming out of the limousines and meeting the new Bachelor. I have to say what I saw. I wasn't terribly impressed with any of it.
Here is Corinne.
I believe that's right.
She's 24 years old, and she likes to tell you quite often that she runs a multi-million dollar business.
Turns out to be her father's.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well, okay.
But most people who run multi-million dollar businesses tell you they run multi-million dollar businesses. It's one of the secrets to success. Here is Corinne, Doug. She's 24 years old. She's from Miami, and I think the cat would describe her as a delight.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
I am not a runner-up, and my sex abilities are definitely top-notch. So tonight, I'm going to go see Nick, and I'm going to have sex with him. Yeah. It's just going to be magical. My heart is gold, but my vagine is platinum.
Vagine?
What I had not heard that.
Doug and I sit around and we watch the whole thing. Is what we do.
Like a couple of teenage girls.
I just don't think there's enough characters this year that are compelling and interesting to make.
I sense a lot of
vile.
I'm telling you right now, I sense a lot of vile. Here's who I like the most. I'll say it now. I have no idea. Doug, the girl from Vancouver.
I don't really remember which one that was.
The girl from Vancouver.
25 of them up there.
Gold in the...
No, that was a different gal. She's Miami.
All right, there's a Hockey Hall of Famer on the line, and you're over here yenting it up about the...
Yeah, I was going to talk about the girl that met Nick at the wedding and had
sex with
him. Barney
Pedurko's on the line.
He didn't remember.
Stow it.
Joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines to talk the weekend that was an incredible one for Blues fans, players, the entire organization, the Hockey Hall of Famer, Barney Pedurko. Barney, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We had Cam Jansen on earlier. We're reading quotes from Wayne Gretzky. And over we keep hearing, reading the same thing, that for guys who played the game, especially here in St. Louis, it was one of the best weekends of their lives. Brett Hull tweeted that. The weekend for you, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it was pretty special. It was pretty actually surreal because, you know what, there's so much hype about one of these Winter Classics, and we've heard about them, you know, from other people that have gone to, you know, out of town to see them, some of the guys that have played them. And until you were a part of it, you really can't even explain how great it was. But it was absolutely sensational right from the second that we, you know, walked into the Busch Stadium to see what they had done there. You know, the crowd, the you know, all the activities, the alumni all coming in. And, of course, topped off by a great game, you know, during the rain yesterday, which was absolutely amazing that they were able to still be able to get that game in. So it was absolutely, you know, one of the most amazing weekends that I've ever been a part of.
You know, I think a lot of people, knowing Blues fans, knew that the Winter Classic would be well attended, the atmosphere would be great. The alumni game and how packed it was for that, where you scored a goal and you're on the ice with, you know, some of the all-time greats, maybe guys you hadn't seen in a while. What was that like for you, not only scoring, but just being part of that alumni game?
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, that was, you know, we would never expect that we were going to get over 40,000 people there. I mean, you know, again, it was, you know, really so spectacular to be able to, you know, just to walk out there and, you know, you're in the middle of Busch Stadium looking around, the stands are full. So it was, you know, epic to say the least. And, you know, yeah, we, you know, we've got a great alumni in town here. We see each other an awful lot, but we had a lot of guys that we have not seen, you know, for, you know, ages that have come into town, and, you know, we're a big part of it. I mean, to get the opportunity to be on the same ice surface as guys like, you know, Wayne Gretzky and, you know, Brett Hull and Chris Pronger, Al MacInnis, so Peter Stastny. I mean, and then, you know what, the Hawks are so much fun to play against. I mean, we had that hated rivalry when we were, you know, of course, playing the game for real. Now they've all become our friends, and it was a game that we, again, the competitive juices come out. You don't want to lose. And I think they were in the same boat. And, you know, we barely, you know, we hung on at the end. And I think the planning was done right by the coaching staff by putting Mark Brodeur in the last period. I think that saved us any of the grief that we might have had by not being able to win that game. So it was absolutely unbelievable the way this event, you know, came together. I mean, just when you looked at Busch Stadium to see the, and it looked like it was snow on the ground. I mean, the way they do the cotton, they even fold it to look like there's snow banks and this and that. It's incredible what they did. And the ice was great. Everything was you couldn't have been better.
The folks that you got to talk to from the hockey community, not living in St. Louis, folks from the outside, what was their reaction? Were they taken by surprise, not only with the crowd for the alumni game, but the atmosphere for the whole weekend?
Yeah, I think that everybody was, you know, I don't know if they were blown away, but I think everybody was quite shocked at, you know, how much support there is here in St. Louis. You know, first of all, to get over 40,000 for an alumni game, but even yesterday, I mean, that was not the greatest weather in the world, and You know, a lot of people, you know, would even the amount of money they've spent on tickets, sometimes they're going to stay home. But no one stayed home at all. And it was, you know, at the beginning of the game, it was tough conditions because it was still, you know, it was drizzling. You couldn't get warm at all. You couldn't get dry because, I mean, the seats, you can't, no umbrellas are allowed in, this and that. So it was some what you call a hardship to be a part of that. But everybody is saying the same. Everybody I talked to, talked to a number of people in the last couple of days now, and everybody said, wow, you know, St. Louis, it's feather in our cap here. The support that our teams get, and the job that the entire community did for this has been spectacular. And trust me, everybody is really taking notice of that.
What kind of mindset do you go out there with at the alumni game? There's got to be a balance to reach between playing real hard and not getting hurt. And some guys are 20 years younger than other guys. How do you approach that? I know you want to win.
Yeah, Doug, the mindset is just you want to just survive. I think that's the biggest thing is that. Some of the guys skate an awful lot more, and I think you can see that out there when you're watching the game. Some of the guys, skate an awful lot, other guys don't. So I think you just try to stay within your own capabilities. If you try to do too much or if you try to go too hard, you're going to hurt yourself. And I think that's the hardest thing is if you, pull a muscle or if you, pull a groin, it hurts too much. So I think it was just a matter of if you couldn't back check, which there wasn't a lot of back checking, if you weren't capable of doing something, don't try to do it. So it was just a matter of having fun. And I think that was the great thing about it. I mean, we saw the Hawks the night before. We had dinner with the guys here in town. We had a hospitality room over at the, at the Hyatt there and this and that. So we got, a chance to spend time with the Hawks alumni as well. And they understand they've played these games before. I mean, this was really, they played in Minnesota last year. It was really their first NHL one, so they kind of knew what to expect as opposed to what we had to expect. So they knew what was going to be going on, and I think it turned out just, it was going to be a lot of goals scored, and it was going to be a lot of fun, and that's exactly what everybody had.
You had such a great and long storied playing career, getting a goal in that alumni game, and you're a humble guy, so you don't ever talk about your accomplishments, but getting a goal in the alumni game, is that special for you, having scored in it?
Well, I don't know if it's special to me. It was fun to be able to score a goal. I didn't expect that was going to happen. But, I mean, I think it was fun about it is that I now can say that I actually have a goal in my career that Wayne Gretzky assisted on, which I would have never expected that. So it was, again, one of those things. I mean, I thought that, we were having so much fun on the ice. Our coaching staff, Red and Bobby and Ungi and Brian were all having so much fun behind the bench. So it was kind of, we laughed at each other to score goals. I mean, no one expected to score goals, to be honest with you. Everybody was just going to go out there and do what they could. If the puck goes in, I didn't even expect to get a shot on net. So I was very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, and the puck went in. So that's about it. There was no game plan about me scoring a goal. It just seemed to happen, right place, right time.
You guys had six Hall of Famers and three other guys who will be Hall of Famers, the greatest player of all time, maybe the greatest goalie of all time. It's quite possible that was the best hockey team that's ever played on the ice at the same time, on the same team.
For alumni, I think so, Doug. I mean, I think that's what was kind of, so exciting for us and special for us. But I think with that being said, though, we're all, in our 50s and 60s. And we don't do what we used to do, and on paper it looks good, but
yeah.
on the ice itself it doesn't look that pretty itself. So we were, again, I think we were a little more concerned because the Hawks had a lot of guys that have recently retired. They're a lot younger than us, and they were going to be a lot faster. So I think the pace was good, but I think the pace, they probably could have pushed the pace a little more if they wanted, but I think they were very respectful for all of us old guys that were on the ice.
Were you surprised at how well Chaser played?
Did he play well?
Well, there's been talk that they let him score.
There was an allegation made by Cam Jansen.
Did you talk to him? Is that why he played well?
Well, there was an allegation made on this show earlier today by Cam Jansen that the fix was in on Chaser's goal and that the goalie let it in and some sort of prearranged deal.
Well, we're all happy that Chaser scored early in the game because he would have been really going 100 miles an hour to try to get one. So I think he calmed down after he got the goal, which was really good.
Bernie Federico, the Hockey Hall of Famer, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is our pleasure to be joined by him, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you. And we're talking Winter Classic. You know, Cam Jansen was on, as I said earlier, Bernie, and he said he was nervous going into this weekend. And I guess part of it was, you know, some of the obligations that he had from a media perspective. But also, I think part of it was, you know, how would this thing all wind up working out? St. Louis hockey fans, the market, and of course the organization were really going to be under the microscope. And there were some factors that were out of everybody's control, such as the weather, how the games would go, and, you know, how things would go around the stadium that were really outside of the control of the Blues. But now that it's in the rearview mirror, for guys such as I mentioned, Brett Hull said it was one of the greatest weekends of his life. Wayne Gretzky praising everything. I don't know if it could have gone better, and it's a landmark moment in the Blues organization's history, I think. How do you view it?
No, I would agree with that. I mean, Tim, I mean, I think that the there was apprehension, obviously, yesterday with the weather, because, you know, these games have been postponed a little bit, but they've never been, you know, postponed more than, you know, an hour or two. And, you know, there have been some snow in some of them, and it would have been real nice if it would have been about 20 degrees cooler yesterday, because we probably would have had some snow instead of the light rain. But I think that was the biggest apprehension, was that game going to get in, and was it going to be a success because of the weather? And I think that, you know, with rainfall, a lot of times people are not going to show up. They don't want to come down and get wet. But I think that after this is in the rearview mirror now, I don't think it could have gotten better yet. We could have had a, you know, 50-degree day yesterday with no rain would have been probably better. People would have probably enjoyed the outside stuff more so, because there was a lot of, you know, stuff going around at Ballpark Village and on the streets. There probably would have been more tailgating and this and that. But I think for the most part, people got more than what they could have expected. I know that everybody I saw yesterday had a smile on their face when they left the game. I know that everybody in the stands that I was watching were having a blast while the game was going on. And the fact that, you know, the Blues were able to beat the Blackhawks is always special here. So I think all in all, it couldn't have been better. I'm sure that, you know, Busch Stadium looks so fantastic. You know, the one thing I think we all missed was, because of the fog, the flyover, mm-hmm. To start the national anthem, the beginning of the game was something that we all kind of missed. But with the fireworks and everything else they had going on down there, I couldn't have. Couldn't imagine it being any better. I mean, the quality of the game was great. The quality of our downtown, the way the events went on, and with all the partying in the Ballpark Village and everything, I thought that it was absolutely fantastic. And I think that St. Louis should be very proud of the way they hosted this event.
Bernie Federico, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. A pleasure to have him on here, the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Bernie, incredible weekend for Blues fans, and very happy for you and all of your alumni, and of course the organization. Thanks for joining us this morning to talk it over. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bernie.
Gentlemen, a pleasure. You guys have a great day, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bernie.
Bernie Federico with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
More humble Hall of Famer you'll never meet than Bernie Federico. Wonderful, wonderful guy.
He's got a memory like an elephant.
Noel Picard.
He hears your name one time, he will remember it forever. Remember when he started at Channel 4 right after he retired? He walked around the building, met everybody, and then knew everybody's name. You know, 150 of them, however many worked there. There was people I would ask. I'd been there for a few years. I'd say, who is that? And he'd tell me the names of the people.
I thought it was important to try to make sure that people who weren't on the air, you treated them like second-class citizens. That's
well,
the way I was.
A lot of us do, but not Bernie.
I understand.
You ever call your lensman monkey with a camera?
Yeah, I have. Press the button, monkey.
I do.
Plow Hurricane, I saw last night at 7 o'clock you tweeted that you were about to take a nap, which struck me as odd since I know you get up around 2.
No, actually, I was just waking up from a nap at that point. So it was around 8 o'clock. I had a Hot Pocket in my hand. Kind of woke up because my dog was eating it.
He was eating your Hot Pocket.
I've never seen a Norman Rockwell like that.
Yeah.
Made him an offer he couldn't refuse, so I couldn't hate the dog for that. He gave me, like, I think it appeared to be like a 20-minute window from when I passed out to when he decided, hey, that Hot Pocket's game for anybody. And so I had the Golden Girls on.
Of course.
You can't be serious.
Yeah. Had the Golden Girls on, and my feet kicked up on the ottoman.
Wait, you have an ottoman?
Yeah, it's matching to the couch. However, there is a couple pieces of wood that is smashed from the dogs, so it kind of has a lean to it.
Oh, no.
Other than that, just it was a great Monday off, and a little worried about my sleep schedule if I'm going to be able to wake up, but did just fine.
Sound like you're battling a cold a little bit.
Just getting over it.
He was sick
just
of the dog over it. Last week.
Was
but, he came in. Good for you.
Almost over with, though, so.
Well, that's
feeling pretty good.
It is
Doug,
cool.
How was Colorado?
Oh, Colorado was okay. Until I returned home. And as I'm getting on the flight between...
It had to be something, right?
Oh, there was a couple things. As I'm getting on the flight from Denver to St. Louis, I go down with my carry-on bag. Sure I do. I always do. It fits on the luggage bin in every plane I've ever been in. And as I'm taking the luggage, they go, we're going to have to take that. Well, why? Why will we have to take that? It won't fit. Yes, it does fit. It fits in all. We're going to have to take it and put it on the jetway, and we'll stow it under the airplane.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. So I said, well, I'd rather not, but if I have to, okay, here's my carry-on bag. And so they took my carry-on bag, and they took the carry-on bag of about 15 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done with the flight, there, it's right there on the jetway. You don't have to wait through the luggage carousel down at another level or something. So
we've flown before.
Yes, okay. So I get out of the flight, lands in St. Louis, and all the carry-on bags are set on the jetway, except mine. They didn't have it. Didn't know where it was. Are you sure you gave us? Yes, I gave you my carry-on bag.
They usually give you a little receipt.
They gave me a receipt.
Well, then here's your proof.
Yeah. They said, well, I don't know. They don't know what happened to it. I said, oh, well, you walked it 30 feet from the jetway to underneath the plane. What do you mean you don't have my carry-on bag? We don't have it. That's what they said. We don't have it.
They said it like that.
Yes. I said, how could you lose that?
Can you find that seductive?
We don't have it.
How could you lose that? And so they said, well, I don't know. We'll try to look for it. So you know what I did? I went on Twitter and I said I lost my bag and mentioned the airline. And then I had them talking to me on Twitter. Yes, we'll get right to it. Where
they called you Dear Doug.
They did. And I got my baggage back about 10, 11 hours later.
They delivered it to your home.
Yeah, well, they should.
And the marijuana that you bought when you were in Denver, they let you keep that.
No, I didn't buy any marijuana in Denver. But what if you had important medicine in there? What if you had a bunch of cash in there? Something you just could not afford to lose? They take it out of your hand and then they don't give it back to you?
Cash money comes in large amounts.
I mean, it does. It's unfortunate and it's awful, but... Everyone has one time or another has lost luggage.
I understand how you lose luggage when you're up at the ticket window and it goes through the conveyor belt and five people have to touch it and it's got to get put on a Jeep and it's got to be driven to this airplane. I get that. I wonder how they handle as much as they do and get it to people appropriately. But when they just take it right out of your hand at the jetway and then take it 20 feet from the bottom of the plane and then can't give it back to you. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
It's almost like they say, hey, give this bag the Vaughn treatment.
Must have.
Like it's known nationwide.
Must
give it the
have.
Vaughn treatment.
And I'm not sure I'd have gotten it back if I didn't have a little piece of blue tape on there. Old Nick Vaughn remembered, hey, that's got blue tape on the bag. Said, there's the identifying mark, because apparently it didn't have my name tag on it.
What about John Vaughn's bag?
His was there. Everyone else was there.
Did the boys
not
laugh
mine.
At you? Did the boys laugh at you?
No, they weren't laughing. And then I went to rent a car in Colorado Springs. I rented a car that's seated five. I got there and they say, well, all we have is a Mustang. You'll love it. I said, I won't love it. I'm not 19 years old. I don't want a Mustang. I need it to seat five. We don't have a car that'll seat five. Take the darn Mustang. So there's not even five seat belts. I can barely get four in there. I bought a car that had five seats. They gave me a Mustang.
Sir, calm down. Do you ever get that, sir?
No, I didn't get that fixed. I drove a Mustang. I had people in the back seat scrunched up like that. There was no room for us.
No, they say, sir, calm down.
They didn't. No.
And they couldn't upgrade you to a van?
No.
Or a SUV?
They said, this is your upgrade. I don't want an upgrade. I want that car that seats five. I got five. I got people to shuttle. No, sorry. Take the Mustang. You'll love it. I don't need to race it at NASCAR. I just need five to drive around.
How many in your party, sir?
Well, there was four when we got there, but there's going to be five or six later. They sold me a car that seated five.
Well, it's not a sale, sir. It's a rental.
Well, but that's part of the contract. Seats five. Here's your nice blue Mustang. You'll love it. I won't love it. I needed, how many did I need? Five.
Sir, how many in your party?
Five. No, this is all we got. Well, thank you. It's always something when you travel.
The
always,
Vaughn treatment. Always something. You got the Vaughn treatment.
I sure did.
Usually they say, look, you can have this SUV. It's much more expensive, but if you need five, that will get you.
Right, they did say that. You can pay us another $100 a day, and we'll give you a bigger car. No, look at the contract. It says this car that I just rented seats 5.
And they didn't give you the
bigger? No, they didn't. No, they said all we've got is this Mustang. You'll love it. I won't love it. Could barely, you fell in, you climbed out. You can't get out of the darn thing.
Tim, have you ever been in a situation like that? They always say, all right, you're right. We have the bigger vehicle. You'll get that at no charge. Our bad. That's how they handle business.
That's not how they handled me.
But that's why you got to go to a real rent-a-car place.
I went to Budget.
I went to Nick's rent-a-car.
And then you know what? I came home and I wrote a letter to the CEO of Avis. Avis owns Budget. It's a little CEO. Here's a little treatment you gave me, fella. Nothing. No response from him.
The hell's wrong with him?
I don't know.
But when did you send the letter?
Right after I got home. I was so mad about it.
Wasn't it possible that, I mean, they're on vacation?
Email. Well, this has been 4 or 5 days now. Oh, I was hopping, man. I mean, livid. Well, the thing must have gone 200 miles an hour. I wasn't looking to race. I was looking to put people in there and their luggage.
How many people in your party, sir?
4, but we were going to pick up 5 later, and we had others.
There's
we had cousins and people to...
There's a confusion.
The contract that's said the car's got 5. It's
you can't even
5.
Answer properly.
Doesn't matter how many's in the party. It matters what the contract said.
Sir, there's 4 in your party. The car seats 4. Now
the car barely seats 4.
Now get in your Mustang
and
5. Shut the heck up.
And I don't want to pay another $100 a day for a bigger car.
Go ahead and write a letter to the CEO. Next.
I did.
Next.
Boy, that's how they treat you there at Budget. I'll tell you that.
You doing a live read, bro?
No. Boy, I was hopping mad.
How many in your party? 4. I'm at 5.
Doesn't matter how many's
right,
in the party.
Take the Mustang and get out of there.
4 now. The 5th is already there.
Doug, can you tell the listeners about Bertarelli Cutlery?
No!
If they opened up a rental car place, they'd take great care of you.
Oh, I'm sure Bertarelli would. It'd be a different situation there. If you try to carve the Christmas goose on Christmas and you say, hey, this knife is dull. Boy, I guess don't throw it away. Go to Bertarelli Cutlery. They sharpen goose knives all the time. Gustav knives as well. That's what they do. They can not just sharpen knives. They can literally fix anything in your kitchen. All the food prep equipment in the kitchen. If it's broken, don't throw it away. You don't have to buy new. Although you could. They have a wonderful retail section there at Bertarelli. But you don't necessarily have
to. You're still angry over the rat car.
Yes, they'll fix it at Bertarelli. I've been telling you this for a couple hundred years now.
They're our friends,
Doug. You can get your stuff fixed at Bertarelli Cutlery. No business too big. No business too small. They have family service. They also have the highest quality cutting boards on the market. So here's what you need to do. You need to go down to the hill, and you need to visit Bertarelli Cutlery and check out their showroom. Now you're saying, okay, where exactly on the hill? Here it is. 1927 Marconi on the hill. And if you mention this radio show, you receive 1 free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, where there is never a dull moment.
Bertarelli Cutlery, a great sponsor of this program, and also Budget Rent-A-Car.
They aren't! They aren't. You wanted a car that seats 5? Here, have a Mustang. Go see if you can get involved in the next NASCAR race. Don't need it!
Sir, you said
don't want it!
You just told me at the counter that there were 4 in your party.
That's if you go to a restaurant. I wasn't going to a restaurant. I was renting a car with the contract that said it seated 5. Nope. The Mustang is blue. I don't care what color the Mustang is. It could be pink. I don't care. I just need a car with 5.
Do you think that the CEO of that rent-a-car place and the airlines were at the same party laughing at you?
Probably. Usually it works. If you send an email to the guy at the very top of the company, something happens for you. Usually it does.
Guys, if Doug had gone with the home team enterprise, he wouldn't have had these problems. Don't be such a dumbass next time. Thanks, call Ellen.
I will next time. Sorry.
KFNS and InsideSTL.com listener awards. Support the sponsors and save a brand new deal. The Gateway Fighting Series live professional kickboxing is coming to the Chaffetz Arena on January 7th. Pick up a pair of tickets in the second row on the floor for 50% off only. For our listener rewards program, go to InsideSTL.com, and you can click on listener rewards and get it done right now. And soccer fans, you can still get a 5-ticket St. Louis Ambush Flex Pack for just $5 per ticket. It's all on InsideSTL.com. Hey, it's time for our very first Hot Shots email of the day of 2017. Doug giving away a gift certificate to the Pasta House. Morning, guys. Some Winter Classic yesterday. I had a good old time cheering for our cuties to a victory. Though early on, weather was a concern. But for me, only weather I was concerned with was whether or not Doug was going to bottom for me after the game. Consider me both relieved and satisfied.
Awful. Boo.
the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Welcome hipster back, Doug. Tower Grove South. I wish I hadn't come back.
Dear Doug, as you know, I had a big weekend on the fan pin, the last one, I mean. First, I called out all those nimrods who post things like, I'm at Kirkwood Brewhouse with Tony Doe and John Smith, when they're actually sitting at home in their boy panties. Glad I ended that. Second, I promoted the heck out of the DraftKings game. Filled it up, as a matter of fact. And then my hero Tim took home second place. I believe I'm personally responsible for his profit this weekend. That's all. See you on the fan pin soon, babe. The Loomster.
Okay. Loomster.
Morn. This Loomster. Winter Classic was one for the ages. I'll never forget waltzing into the men's washroom and seeing the cutest gent in my section with dropped pant forearm against the wall just letting it fall, Jack. I saddled up next to him so I can let that splashback graze my forearms.
Oh, no.
And I can tell the asparagus he ate last eve was as good as the action on the ice. Think about it. Tunnels 12,000.
I'm not going to. Tunnels 12,000. 12,000.
Are there guys who position themselves to get splashback from a neighboring urinal?
One would hope not.
Accidentally, maybe. If someone's really got a hard flow going, sometimes there's a little splashback.
Do you say something if you see you get your neighbor?
You just move over. You go, come on, guy.
You do say that. That's happened.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Come on, guy.
Mm-hmm. Guys, Plops here. In regards to caller Jim in the 7 o'clock hour, who is a Texas lemming, you know what else Texas has, buddy? Lee Harvey Oswald and rampant armadillos, which are invasive like the Dickens.
We got them here now, too.
The only good thing about Texas is the football team over at Texas State University. Guys, they have a quarterback who's about 40 years old named Paul Blake, a farm boy on the comeback trail with an arm like a damn rocket. They have this beautiful female kicker named Lucy, and then there's the center. Don't get me started on their center. Doug, you ought to see this big old Samoan guy they've got. Heck of a squad. Anyway, Tim, it was another great meal at the Kirkwood Brewhouse yesterday. I had a seltzer water and the Eric Greitens BLT. Give my regards to Cookie, as it was all delish. Sincerely, you 2017 Missouri Stinkfinger delegate, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops. Assistant Program Director.
Hey, boys, Doug's ideas for MLS are great. Everybody wanting to waste our tax dollars is going to look silly when we, A, cut the top of the dome off with circular saws and torches, or B, jack the dome up and roll grass into it, or C, grow 100,000 square foot of grass on a concrete slab indoors. Most will say none of this can be done, but then again, at one time, all the top scientists agreed that thin crust pizza couldn't be cut into squares.
That's right.
Thanks, Doug. That comes from Reeves.
Yeah, the earth was flat for a while, too, wasn't it?
Howdy. Winter Classic, Tarasenko, blah, blah, blah. That's all good and well, but you see Doug rinkside in that snazzy red Four Fox jacket. That thing was sharp. When he turned to point out something on the ice, I could see what was written in rhinestones on the back. St. Louis's number one news team when replayed Mondays at 3 a.m. If I may, Mr. Buck, that's a winner. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
I didn't care for him. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Hey, boys, Doug, it's me, your Facebook friend, Ernie, from Bangladesh. Please don't kill me. For a one-time fee of $8.99, I can come over and read your bedtime stories in my birthday suit while doing the helicopter. Again, please don't kill me. I come in peace, as well as on your chest. Just kidding. Stubby clap.
No. Stubby clap. No. Any good ones, Tim? I haven't found one to vote for yet.
Hey, guys, they say it's good luck to start off the new year with a poem, sonnet, or limerick, and I'd like to share a little piece I wrote yesterday to the tune of Nelly's Hot in Her. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. It is getting so hot, Doug. How about you come over here and doggy scoot on my face? Happy New Year, everybody. Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Awful.
That's what we have for the email of the day. First Hot Shots email of the day. Off to a strong start.
It isn't. I don't have anyone to vote. I've got no check marks on any of them.
I got a couple of check marks, but I'm going to go with Tunnels 12,000 because it made me laugh.
Tunnels 12,000 just shipped it. And that's interesting that there are guys who want splashback from their neighbor at the urinal.
They don't want it. It just happens accidentally.
And then what do you
young
say
man
if it does,
with a strong stream.
What if it does?
Move over.
Guy. $10 gift certificate for the Pasta House, the prize. For Tunnels 12,000, congratulations, you've won the Hot Shots email today. It's the Lion's Choice, famous roast beef hand off to Frank Cusimano on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. You can see more of us coming up on InsideSTL.com with Hannah Ray and Nick Yale, also known as Nick What Up, Y'all. You can watch that on InsideSTL.com, plus all of our Winter Classic coverage. Frank's up next with the Hollywood Casino Press Box for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McCurdy, and this has been Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HG2 FM, and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.